Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line. We will get into college football on the eve of the 2024 season that starts tomorrow. In just a moment. But some more Major League Baseball recaps to start. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. DRS, how excited are you to preview the Florida State and Georgia Tech game over in Dublin tomorrow?
Oh, over. Maybe some over on prop bets. Maybe a quarterback that's looking to break into a new university and get those good vibes going with maybe two touchdowns or more. So we'll save that for that Florida State action. But I am excited by this because, you know, we don't have to wait too long. It's not as if week zero is like, hey, guys, you know what? We're going to stage it on a Saturday. First game's at 8 o'clock, so you got to wait around all day long. You got the boys in studio. You got a 12 o'clock kickoff for the game of the day, and you're going to get to see it. Isn't it something, Ben, because we've seen preseason football, and that's always fun as well. But just when you're in the first quarter of the first football game of the season, like, it just feels right. Like, it might be 85 degrees outside your window, and by the time you're watching the first quarter of a game in December, it's freezing cold. But there's something right about this. Like, you know what? Football's on my TV. The world is healing at this point. That's what it feels like to me, and I can't wait for that moment tomorrow.
And listen, depending on where you are, where you are listening to this, where you are watching, maybe it's not a fall morning feel to you. But the last few days here in the greater Northeast around New York City, I know where DRS is, down in South Jersey, you walk outside, it's like 60 degrees in the morning. There's a crisp bite to the air. It feels like football, which also in the fall means postseason baseball. And so it's getting ready for all of those playoff positions. And Aaron Judge is on a heater. A few more stats from our very own Joe Friezo. Aaron Judge has 48 home runs this year. He's a few more long balls away from joining the 50 home run club for the third time in his NFL, in his MLB career, which would join Babe Ruth, Sammy Sosa, Alex Rodriguez, and Mark McGwire as the members of the three-time 50 home run club. Shout out to our guy Joe Friezo, by the way, who in the rundown DRS put asterisks near Sammy Sosa, Alex Rodriguez, and Mark McGwire's name just to make sure we knew they weren't exactly legitimate.
Now, granted, I'm probably not looking where you're looking at that point, but I was going over in my head as you said those innings, like, there's a lot of juice in that scenario for a guy that, is, I guess we can assume, and rightfully so, is not on the juice here and still absolutely powering the baseball. But you want to talk about being in good vibes there. Like, you're clean and you're doing the same thing as the guys getting a lot of help, even some corked bats back in the day with juiced baseballs.
Yeah,
times are good here for Aaron Judge.
Yeah, they certainly are. He's on pace for 61 home runs, which would be one shy of the American League record that he set back in 2022. But again, as college football season nears the end of a Major League Baseball season, no cutaways to Aaron Judge. No split screens during college football games.
Hold on.
Okay.
Now, I know where you're going with this, too, so we can add another layer. Correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody behind the scenes would be very upset if the Maris family was traveling around once again here with the update and what they can get into. So I understand. It's like, hey, we've seen this before. Like, right? Like, hey, it's a key third and three play. We got to break into this live coverage somewhere in the Bronx since September here to get involved with Aaron Judge. Yeah, I hear you on that.
Dionis, you ever seen the memes and it's like, if this person has 1,000 fans or 1,000 haters, I am one.
Yes,
if this person
correct.
Has 100 haters, I am one.
Yes.
So for Roger Maris Jr., the son of Roger Maris, if Roger Maris Jr. has 1,000 haters, which I doubt, it is Joe Friezo. If Roger Maris Jr. has 100 haters, it is our producer, Joe Friezo. If Roger Maris Jr. has one hater, it is Joe Friezo. If Roger Maris Jr. has zero haters, that means Joe Friezo is no longer living here on planet Earth. Yeah. All right. Elsewhere around MLB, if on your bingo card yesterday you had Houston's Spencer Arrighetti outdueling Baltimore's Corbin Burns, congratulations to you as the Astros win the opener in Baltimore 6-0. Against the O's, Arrighetti sensational for Houston. Corbin Burns allowing 5 earned runs. DRS, Burns has made 4 starts in August. He has allowed 20 total earned runs in this month. Not what Baltimore needed back at home yesterday after they have really been mediocre since the All-Star break and in August.
Yeah, and it's funny because I felt like I was like trying to climb a mountain here going like, I still stick with the Yankees at this point, even though it doesn't look very good right now. Well, it looks pretty good for the Yankees, and it's getting a little bit dark here for the Baltimore Orioles. Now, as I said that, they're still one of the best teams in the American League. They're going to make the playoffs, but that's when you have your stopper on the mound and he's getting shelled, that's tough for that clubhouse because you look to that guy and say, all right, things might not be going well, but tomorrow, if we score 2 runs, we're going to pick up a victory. And how about for Baltimore? See, it looks like the Phillies, man, just showing up against a pitcher that's okay, maybe has a good start here and there and is a decent young pitcher. Yeah. 3 hits at home, getting beat 6-0 with your ace on the mound. So you can't look to them and say, hey, maybe the Cole Irvins of the world are going to – that's not the case here. It's supposed to be Corbin Burns shutting the door here. That's a devastating loss for the Orioles, not just because, of course, they lost a game to the Astros, teams fighting for playoff contention, I understand. But when your ace gets hammered at home like that, that's never good.
Because of Corbin Burns, Baltimore was greater than a $1.50 favorite against an Astros team that is surging, who is now 13-6 in August. On the other edge of the coin, Baltimore now 9-11 in this month. Houston, a victory, a 5.5 game lead now in the American League West. And because of the Seattle slide and slump, Scott Servais, the manager in the Pacific Northwest, who had been the manager of the Mariners for the last 9 years, this his 9th season at the helm, was let go yesterday by Seattle. Donnie, on June 18th, Seattle was 44-31. Houston was 33-40. There was a 10-game lead for Seattle atop the American League West. The M's are now back by 5.5 games. You see the stats for Seattle since the All-Star break, 12-18, a negative run differential, and now 7-1 plus 700 to win the American League West. Even at the break, they were up only by a game over Houston, but still were the minus money favorite to win the divisional crown.
I'll say this. The manager had to go because changes have to be made. You're too late in the season. The players can't go. And it's much harder to recreate your roster through waivers than it is just to remove your manager to try to get a new, you know, voice in the room per se. But let's understand this one thing about baseball. It's an individualistic sport. And that means you're telling me that the players aren't hitting because they don't like their manager? Nonsense. If you hate your manager, you want to hit 400. If you love your manager, you want to hit 400 here. But I understand the sentiment. Things are going so poorly here. We just have to make a change for for the sake of making a change, and I do support that. But if we're looking at saying, like, well, Scott Servais was the real issue with the Mariners, no, he's not. He doesn't make you pitch bad. It used to be like the Mariners, like, hey, you're just not putting the best lineup out there on a day-to-day basis, or every time you have a gut feel in the seventh inning with a bullpen guy, you're putting the wrong guy in. We got to make a move. Those guys couldn't hit all year long. Those guys couldn't hit last year. Quite frankly, it feels like they couldn't hit for 5 years in Seattle. That's not the manager's fault, but he had to go. Something has to change. It's just the manager is easier to change than the players at this point, Ben.
Yeah, listen, the offense has been stagnant. The Mariners were swept this week by the Dodgers. Things are bad in the Northwest. The San Diego Padres have now lost two games in a row, almost unheard of. The New York Mets, a cross-country flight without an off day. They play day baseball at Citi Field on Wednesday afternoon, walking it off Donnie's guy, Jesse Winker, against the Baltimore Orioles. He had an RBI yesterday. Mark Vientos, three ribbies for the Mets. And Luis Severino outduels Dylan Cease as the Mets take the opener in San Diego, winning 8-3.
Yeah, I thought this game would stay under. Did I know that they're going to score seven times combined in the ninth inning? My goodness, they have 11. But also, in a game where you're going up against Dylan Cease and that travel, you get 17 hits for the Mets and eight total runs in that game. You'll take it any way you can. Now, granted, Cease 6 1/3 innings, only two earned runs. The bullpen sort of imploded, which is supposed to be the strength of the San Diego Padres. Hey, man, Mets keep winning here, trying to get closer and closer to the Atlanta Braves here and get in that wild card hunt.
And Donnie, if only your Philadelphia Phillies could help out the New York Mets, but I guess that's a divisional rivalry through and through, because Atlanta still maintains a game and a half lead for that third and final National League wild card spot. Don't even say anything. Just show them. That's what we talk about next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You have made it. Tomorrow is the start of the 2024 college football season. It's why the shirt reads College Football Period. It is not the greatest week zero slate we have ever seen in the history of CFB. It's not even the best week zero slate we have seen in the last few seasons. But we do have an ACC affair with a preseason top 10 team to kick off the 2024 campaign tomorrow in Ireland. It's the Dublin debut of 10th-ranked Florida State and Georgia Tech, an ACC clash to begin 2024 in college football that, from a betting perspective, has been a fascinating case study in the last week and a half. Florida State, top 10 team in the preseason, perfect undefeated and an ACC champ entering the bowl season last year. The Seminoles opened as a 13.5-point favorite. Donnie, they're still favored by double digits, expected to win the game outright in a large way over the Yellow Jackets. But 13.5, about 10 days ago, has now become closer to single digits than to touchdowns. Only a 10.5-point spread. Total 55.5. Where do you fall on the eve of the 2024 college football season?
Yeah, we talked about it in the last week when that line was 11.5, and I did like Georgia Tech because there's a lot of, you know, we don't know what's going to take place. Breaking a new quarterback for Florida State. You're not exactly playing a Doak Campbell either. You are across seas here, so neither one of these teams is used to playing in that environment. Maybe it'll be a little bit sloppy right off the top. But also, what you can't deny, sometimes we're looking at, like, professional handicappers, right? We say, okay, the season's just starting. The public usually has an eye on the game going, ooh, which way do we want to go here? And as Ben just pointed out, this line was hovering around two touchdowns here. Let's just call it 13.5. Now this line sits at 10.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you go right to the FanDuel Sportsbook and click on statistics for this game, betting statistics that is, 72% of the tickets coming in on Florida State. 69% of the money coming in on Florida State. 13.5 down to 10.5. That means some sharp action is coming in the opposite way on Georgia Tech. Does it always win? No, it doesn't. But I always like these false flag type games saying everybody you talk to typically likes Florida State. And then you say, well, why wouldn't that line be going from 13.5, Ben, to 17.5, not 13.5 back down to 10.5. It's just those little betting intricacies that we see early in the season that you pay attention to. But a lot of people like Florida State, but can't answer for why that line is actually dropping here.
Yeah, it is really interesting. We shared some insights from those around the sports betting landscape earlier in the week that a lot of the sharp money that big market moving money is on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, who enter year number two fully under Brent Key, who played his college football on the defensive side of the ball there in Atlanta, Georgia, for Georgia Tech. Interim head coach in 2022, after Jeff Collins was dismissed, led Georgia Tech to a 4-4 season in his tenure. 7-6 last year with a bowl victory, and maybe most important, DRS, for a big 2-touchdown spread in a conference game. Georgia Tech was 7-2 against the number as an underdog a season ago. Florida State favored 11 times last year, 6-5 against the spread. To Donnie's point, DJ Uiagalelei is now the quarterback for FSU, a guy with plenty of college football and ACC experience, 48 games in his career, a 30-10 record as a starter. Last season in Corvallis at Oregon State, the first 3 years of his tenure at Clemson. Donnie, when you look at some of the props that are available, one of the other reasons that I think a lot of people are looking at Georgia Tech is the consistency of a promising young head coach in Brent Key and the quarterback of Haynes King being back for a second straight season. 187 and a hook is his passing yards prop. FSU, sixth best passing defense in the country a season ago, and their two all-ACC performers in the secondary do return this year, but it's also his legs. Haynes King, over 700 yards on the ground last year, 10 rushing scores. His rushing yards prop, 42.5 against Florida State's defense.
Yeah, and the tough part about that, too, is we always have to remind people, if you are on the FanDuel Sportsbook looking at players rushing, you're like, boy, Ben just told you, this guy's an unbelievable runner. 42.5, that's really easy. Well, understand this. Florida State's got some weapons in that front seven, and they put pressure on you, which means you take sacks. That goes away from your rushing yards. So theoretically, you can have 100 yards on the ground as a quarterback and say, Ben, why did he wind up with 62 yards? Well, because that's what happens here in college football. I don't know why they've ever not done away with that rule. Just one of those quirks they have. Same thing with DJU out there, 20.5 rushing yards here. Oh, that should be easier, but also take into account they're the favorites. You might take knees at the end of the football game, but also if you take sacks, you will lose that. But most of these are correlated. If you think Georgia Tech is going to hang around and win this game, Haynes King is probably going to be a big deal there, throwing the football for close to 200 yards and or rushing. If he goes under those two totals, I doubt the fact that they're going to be hanging around this football game within single digits here. But also, it is the first game. You're taking a lot of leaps here. But as Ben pointed out, sometimes just having that quarterback in the system back for another year after having some success here, you can look to take that leap into the second year. And the question mark's more from Florida State's side. Do we know Florida State has better football players? Of course we do. But it's just a matter of that game against Georgia, a lot of talent left the building, breaking in a new quarterback overseas. Sometimes that's a little bit more to deal with here. And that line, we know, Ben, it wouldn't be 10.5. It was at Doak Campbell. It would be well over 2 touchdowns right as a favorite for Florida State.
It's a unique spot, of course, for both Florida State and Georgia Tech to start a season in week zero all the way over in Ireland. FSU, of course, has a lot of new faces, not just their quarterback in DJ Uiagalelei, but also transfer running back from Alabama. His name is Roydell Williams. We'll talk a couple of more props on the other side of the break, but just so you get the understanding of where the Noles are entering this year. Of course, Florida State was one of the stories of 2023. One of 15 undefeated Power 5 conference champions in the history, the 10-year history of the college football playoff. And the only one of those 15 to be left out of the CFP. They are the favorites to win the ACC this year, a plus 320 price. It is considered a three-team race between FSU, Clemson, and Miami, and a plus 160 number for the Noles to reach the college football playoff. 9.5 the win total, the under has the juice. Donnie, if you had to pick the ACC champion entering 2024, is it this Florida State team, or is it another team from the Sunshine State?
I would probably say, look, Florida State is too easy for me to attack right now. A lot of changes, though. Clemson, I think, is going to be in the mix, and certainly the Miami Hurricanes with that new backfield, if you will, quarterback and running back. I think it's that year where Miami actually can play a factor in the ACC. About time, Miami!
More from the Week Zero slate up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on a Football Friday on the eve of the 2024 college football campaign that starts in Dublin. 10th-ranked Florida State and Georgia Tech, an ACC affair to get us started in 2024. Just want to make this point. We'll have some bets a little bit later on for you. Roydell Williams, new transfer running back for FSU in a two-man backfield that also features Lawrence Toafili, who was big for FSU in the ACC championship game. We'll look at their rushing yards props, but it will be an area of attack for me, DRS, as Georgia Tech had the third worst rushing defense in FBS college football. There were 133 teams playing FBS college football last year, and Georgia Tech had the third worst rushing defense, allowing 226 yards per game.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that too, because I remember a couple years ago, I can't remember the exact Mayan Williams, like I'm probably getting this wrong for Ohio State. The reason I'm bringing it up is they had one of their first Mayan games. And Kevin Weyer on the air. He was supposed to be the starter. So his number was like 101 yards. Like, oh, yeah, he should be able to run wild. And like that game that he was plummeting like a rock because it was understood he wasn't actually the starting running back. The only reason I bring this up is because you try to educate the public on day, like, it's not like the NFL where it's like, now hold on.
No.
Mixon's not getting the carries for the Texans. Kenneth Gainwell starting over Saquon Barkley. We don't really get those surprises, but you do get them in college football. So I'm interested to see, like, we're almost, 24 hours or so away from game time.
Yeah.
I'm looking at those numbers now, and you say to yourself, Toafili there, 42 and a half yards, Roydell Williams, 67 and a half. I want to see where those line up here and if they stay the same, because I always remember statistics like that, like, hey, running back number one on the depth chart, he should get all the bulk of the carries, to be like, hey, the guy's getting carries late in the fourth quarter. What actually happened here? So just a word to the wise at that point, that they're probably going to get the bulk, but it's going to be interesting to see where those numbers wind up right before we get to game time, because as I like to say, somebody probably knows something on what that rotation is actually going to be and who's going to be the lead ball carrier and get the majority of the carries.
Prop betting in college football is still a relatively new phenomenon, which can mean that you have some edges if you hit it right and you are in the know, or it can be the most frustrating thing you have ever done because availability and injury reports are not commonplace, or at least did not used to be a common occurrence in college football. More so now instituted on a conference by conference basis. Yeah. It can also be incredibly frustrating when you bet a quarterback and the over of his rushing yards prop only to see him get sacked twice late in the game and then the number to stay under. Elsewhere in week zero, DRS, we've got three other games on the week zero slate. A new ACC team in SMU travels out to Nevada. What's surprising about this? SMU, earlier this week, a 27.5-point favorite. Now it's 24 in a hook only. The Wolfpack getting some love in the market. Delaware State, we are happy to report, has landed out on the islands and off the mainland. Hawaii, though, a 39.5-point favorite against the Hornets. Braden Chager is back for the Rainbow Warriors under Timmy Chang. They are going to toss that ball all around the yard. And Montana State is an FCS powerhouse, at least has been that way under Brent Vegan the past few years, a 32-9 record. Donnie, it's not often, though, you see an FCS team ballooning to a 2-touchdown favorite virtually against the FBS school in action in the game in New Mexico.
Yeah, that's a tough look right there for a team that's supposed to be the better team and playing at home and getting 2 touchdowns. It's like you're supposed to open up with cupcakes on your schedule as a major Division I team. Now, granted, are they Power 5? Not necessarily, but they're still Division I. That's tough there. But also, I've never been to Hawaii. So let's just say I've been told multiple times, I live on the East Coast, I want to go to Hawaii. Donnie, you're going to need at least 2 weeks because that flight out there is a pain. That flight out there back is a pain. You want to be able to relax and like get your mind about you. So we're led to believe that Delaware State is flying from the East Coast out to Hawaii, playing a football game right away and flying back. I mean, that just seems like the ultimate fade at this point. And when you do hear you're playing at Hawaii, it's got to be cool for a college. Hey, man, we're at Hawaii. That's going to be really neat. It's not as if you're flying out there to lay on the beach for 6 or 7 days, get some work in and play a game. That's a business. And I can't imagine flying to the West Coast, then flying once again. That's too much for me, man. Where are their legs going to be in that game? Goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. I can't believe it's only a 24.5 point spread in favor of the Stangs against Nevada. It's still more than three scores. It's four scores, but SMU, an 11-win team that has the 11th most returning production, 78% of their team back from last year, including virtually their entire offense and quarterback Preston Stone, is only a favorite now against Nevada, who has won just two games each of the past 2 years. Braden Shager, by the way, for Hawaii, 297 and a hook. The passing yards prop against Delaware State. Over NFL preseason week three action up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid, the eve of real college football, even if it's week zero. On this Friday night, though, a triple header of action around the National Football League in preseason week number three. It is the final week of the NFL preseason before we get the real thing, starting in less than 2 weeks. DRS three games tonight. We have a game down south in Atlanta between the Falcons and the Jaguars. 7-point spread in favor of the Jags. We've got an all Sunshine State affair between the Bucks and the Dolphins and the Raiders and the 49ers that we'll talk about in just a moment. A former Northern California clash. Some very lofty spreads, though. We've got 7.5 in favor of San Francisco, 7 in favor of Jacksonville. Again, we got to dive through the reports here and make sure our research is on point. That would almost lead me to believe when you see a touchdown number, might we see some starters tonight in Jacksonville and for the 49ers?
Yes, and that's the key ingredient here, because sometimes in regular season you don't get to see this unless it's, what, week 18 where you get that announcement on Tuesday, I don't think my starters are playing, and you see this big line reversal. Let's take a look at these three games without handicapping them and just see where the lines are going. FanDuel in New Jersey open, Jacksonville and Atlanta at a -4.5-point spread. Now we see it across the board, including FanDuel sitting at a -7. Miami and Tampa Bay, do you know Miami actually opened up as the 1.5-point favorite? Now across the board, Tampa Bay is a 3-point favorite. And then in that nightcap out there on the West Coast in Vegas, San Francisco and Las Vegas, that was actually a 3.5-point favorite towards the Vegas Raiders. That's now a 7.5-point favorite towards the San Francisco 49ers. Ben, that's exactly what they're telling you. One team has already shut down their preseason, and one team that still says, you know what? There's a little meat left on the bone. We have to check a few things out, and we're actually going to game plan a little bit for this game more than the other team. That's what we're finding out now.
Yeah, it is really interesting, Donnie, the philosophy that we are seeing develop here in the three-game preseason slate. Trevor Lawrence did not play in week number two for Jacksonville, but he is going to play in week number three. He played in the preseason opener against the Chiefs, had one offensive possession, and did lead a touchdown drive. The Jags, I believe, if I am not mistaken, are a perfect, 2-0 so far throughout this preseason, looking to make it a perfect 3-0. What perhaps is more peculiar about this game than even Trevor Lawrence getting some reps as a touchdown favorite is the sentiment in Atlanta that Michael Penix Jr. has done all that he needs to do at the quarterback spot and is not going to play tonight against Jacksonville. I know that you and Kevin have talked about this on the money line, and if you're listening on Sports Grid Radio, perhaps you have seen one of the promo clips going around during the commercial break where I think Kev makes a very astute point. Unless we get an update out of Atlanta that Kirk Cousins is not ready to go from the Achilles injury that ended his 2023 season after only 10 games. What in the world are they doing with Penix Jr.?
And by the way, I thought the quote was something like, we're going to bring a brand new energy to this show here. So we might be getting our quotes backwards here on that commercial at this point. So, but anyway, when we look at that game, look, the 7-point line, are we just getting John Paddock at this point? Like, is that who's going to be playing for Atlanta? Because Penix isn't playing. Kirk Cousins isn't playing. Taylor Heineke, who's been a veteran for a while, needs 3.5 quarters of burn? Or are you just going to a guy like, hey, kid, this is your moment to shine. You're not going to probably make this football team. Call your family. You're getting 4 full quarters tonight of action. That's what it's telling me right now, where Jacksonville might have a little bit more competency at the quarterback position. That's really what it's all about in preseason. But that's the only thing I can figure. But getting back to your Atlanta point,
Yeah.
Your goal is for Penix not to play this year. Let him burn in the preseason so at least he can get those game reps in and show your fan base and your general manager. Like, yeah, if he needs to step in, he's ready to go. A series against maybe some backups. Like, you know what? We saw all we need with this kid at this point now. Nothing makes sense. And almost like, Ben, sometimes you're rooting against the team while not really rooting against him. It's like, boy, if this goes up in flames for Atlanta, it's like, see that? Why did you take that draft pick? Yeah. It didn't make sense to begin with. It seems like they're setting themselves up for that, where no matter what happens, you're going to be able to throw eggs at the Atlanta Falcons. Like, ha ha, bad franchise.
Yeah. I feel terrible for Michael Penix Jr. I would want to play football if I knew that my future in Atlanta probably wouldn't really start for the next 2 to 3 years. The Falcons remain a minus 145 favorite to win the NFC South division. They also extended A.J. Terrell, their fifth-year cornerback. We're about to enter year number five for Atlanta. Four-year deal worth more than $80 million, making him the second-highest paid cornerback in the National Football League. Atlanta's made some good moves defensively in the last week plus. They acquired via trade with New England Matthew Judon. They brought in Justin Simmons as well, one of the formerly great safeties in the NFL, but still was a late free agent acquisition this summer. Still, I have my questions on the Falcons. We are not going to see Tua Tagovailoa tonight for Miami. The Bucs remain a short favorite in the Sunshine State Showdown. 3 points is the spread in favor of the Buccaneers. The highest total, though, of this Friday night, 37.5.
Yeah, and also, if we're looking at backup quarterbacks once again, you said that's interesting that Tampa Bay is going to be the favorite, because typically, obviously, you're not going to see Tua Tagovailoa, but they do have some quality, competent backup quarterbacks that do have some NFL experience. But again, we're also reading the tea leaves. We don't actually know who's playing here, and there's a reason why Miami opened up as the favorite and now sit as that 3-point underdog, which means Tampa Bay might say, like, you know what? Maybe the starting quarterback doesn't play, but we're going to play some of our defense here for a quarter. We don't know the you know, results, per se, of what's going to happen at the end of the game. But the one thing I do trust is those lines just don't move because it's fun and there's betting markets here. Those lines are moving here because information is out there who a certain team expects to play more second and third stringers than obviously first stringers here, and that's what we're probably getting out of it. Miami looks the part saying, you know what? We're ready to go for the regular season, and maybe Tampa is going to play their defense or their offense, maybe an extra series in this game, which isn't enough, but that could tilt the balance of, hey, look at that. My starters were in. You went 3 and out back-to-back with your offense, and our offense was able to get a field goal early, and there you go.
Tua did not play week number one for Miami. Did play last week at home against the Commanders. 5 of 5 for 51 yards in his only offensive possession and threw a touchdown. You would expect Skylar Thompson and Mike White to be battling for that backup QB job. Maybe it's why the total is up despite the Buccaneers being a favorite. Baker Mayfield not expected to play tonight for Tampa. But Mayfield at this point last summer was in a QB competition with Kyle Trask, who the Buccaneers drafted in the second round in 2021, maybe the heir apparent behind Tom Brady. Trask is still there, has looked pretty good so far in the first few weeks of the preseason. I would expect Trask to get a lot of burn tonight. Elsewhere in Las Vegas, the 49ers over a touchdown favorite against Vegas. Of course, the Raiders have already named Gardner Minshew the starting quarterback this year. Total 32.5, more than a touchdown spread in favor of San Francisco. Let's confirm, Donnie, but is Brock Purdy playing in preseason week number 3?
Or is it just meaning, like, because typically if Gardner Minshew won the job, Aiden O'Connell is still young. You're still trying to get reps. So wouldn't you play him 3.5 quarters? And if that is the case where we understand that Aiden O'Connell is going to play a majority of this game and they're getting 7.5 in a preseason game, something isn't adding up, which leads, I'm just looking at the depth chart here for the Vegas Raiders. Carter Bradley or Nathan Peterman, I guess, gets the run. It's like, boy, both of those guys really can't even play quarterback in the NFL. That's the only thing I'm trying to surmise. Or unless, yes, Brock Purdy is going to play the first quarter in this game, which means that you should be able to run out to a lead and then see if your backups can hold it. But that is a massive number. That's a 10-point swing, a 3.5-point favorite for Vegas, now a 7.5-point underdog. That's as wild as it gets.
Yeah, so Kyle Shanahan has said that he is going to play some of his starters tonight, perhaps not too pleased with the starters' performance despite a win over the New Orleans Saints to end out preseason week number 2 on Sunday. Brock Purdy looked shaky and inconsistent, just 2 of 6 for 11 yards. And Joshua Dobbs is the backup. He should get a lot of run tonight as well. A backup quarterback with game experience in actual NFL matchups is always a key indicator of success in the National Football League. So maybe you look at a first half line for San Francisco in terms of taking the full 7.5 game spread. We'll talk a little bit more about the rest of the NFL preseason and then have some more fun with Futures Fusion up next, live right here on the Early Line on what we consider a Football Friday on SportsGrid. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The final week of the National Football League preseason. Two games last night to kick it off on a Thursday. Three, a triple header on this Friday. We've got eight games on Saturday. Mix it in with a little college football as you welcome in week zero as well. And then three games on Sunday to round out the preseason. Then in the coming days after that, every organization has to make the difficult decisions around their roster, cut it down to the 53-man active roster, and then we get ready for game week preparation. Here are a couple of the notable games on Saturday around the NFL. The Panthers and the Bills, not expecting to see Josh Allen. We'll talk Pittsburgh and Detroit in just a moment. The Texans, a 3.5-point favorite against the Rams. The Packers host the Ravens. A couple of spreads in favor of those two teams at the bottom. Donnie, I think the biggest one of Saturday, not only from a betting perspective, but also just what are we going to get for this organization moving forward, is Pittsburgh on the road in the Motor City. You'll see Detroit as a 6.5-point home underdog. Dan Campbell doesn't really believe in playing the starters much throughout the preseason. Wouldn't really expect them to get much burn. However, Russell Wilson did hint earlier this week at Steelers training camp that the starters are going to be out there. And if the starters are going to be out there, that means we're probably going to see Russ and the potential other starter at the quarterback spot, Justin Fields. It's why the Steelers are nearly a touchdown favorite on the road.
Yeah, we've seen this in the past with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not necessarily talking about preseason, Ben, but let's just say they already have their playoff spot locked up with a week to go. The Steelers are always like, hey, we got a game to play. We're playing our starters regardless because it's a football game and that's what we play. So if you're using that same mentality here, we're not talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers like, hey, man, Russ has been fantastic from the time we got him all the way through to OTAs, through to training camp, and now into the preseason schedule. They have a lot to figure out here, and I'm pretty sure like Mike Tomlin isn't satisfied with his quarterback play. And we always say this. You can't just say, well, I'm not going to play my starters at wide receiver or running back or offensive line, but I'm going to play my starting quarterbacks out there so they get some run. That's not happening here. If Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields is going to be on that field, there's going to be starters that are going to play with him. And if you want to honestly evaluate who should be your starter, you have to game plan, you have to give those guys opportunities, and you have to have the starters on the offensive line out there and in sync. So this line, no surprise this week, opened up at a 3-point favorite for Pittsburgh, and now we're seeing it getting close to a touchdown, and probably by game time will be 7 points or more, because you're figuring Pittsburgh is trying to figure things out. Detroit is just looking to get now into the regular season. This game would make some sense from a Pittsburgh betting side of it.
Yeah, it absolutely would. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields both played 5 possessions last week, or both got 5 possessions at the helm of the Steelers offense. It did not go well. Only 3 points scored out of Pittsburgh. It was a field goal drive led by Fields. A lot to figure out for the Steelers. Other games on Saturday. Might we see Jahan Dotson in an Eagles uniform tomorrow, DRS? The Birds, a 2.5-point home favorite against the Vikings.
I don't think that's going to be the case here, but when you are looking at those spreads and you say the Philadelphia Eagles are a favorite, because we like the backup quarterback situation in Philadelphia, whether or not it's even going to be Kenny Pickett, which they want to tell you is already the quarterback number two. Like, Tanner McKee has been a very good quarterback in preseason, and if he's going to get like the majority of the time out there, at least get 2 quarters or so, he's probably going to be a decent weapon. And also, Minnesota, what are we playing for? Sam Darnold, you're not going to see it there. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy is out for the season, so maybe the Philadelphia Eagles should be a slight favorite in this one, but should be a boring game. But interesting. It's very rare that the Philadelphia Eagles on a Saturday. Usually the Eagles are always a Thursday night football team, primarily through the preseasons of the past 20 to 25 years. It's interesting to see them playing on a 1 o'clock Saturday game at home. That's interesting.
It really is. Another spot just to pay attention to, Robert Saleh confirming earlier this week that Aaron Rodgers, who they said would be held out for all the preseason, is going to be held out for all the preseason. A MetLife finale for both the Giants and the Jets facing off on Saturday night. The G-Men, a slight 2.5-point favorite. That means Aaron Rodgers' first action back in an NFL game after only 4 offensive plays last year on the opening Monday night of the year will be the opening Monday night of this year, over 2 weeks away in San Francisco. The 3 games on Sunday, just so you get a peek, the Tennessee Titans and the New Orleans Saints, the Cardinals and the Broncos might not actually see a lot of Bo Nix, who has been great this preseason after being named the starter for Denver, the Patriots, and the Commanders. Listen, I don't think we see Jaden Daniels. I don't know what the Patriots are going to do, but they're a 4.5-point favorite. Hey, just know, Jerod Mayo put Bailey Zappe back into the game last week against the Eagles on Thursday night to try to win the football game. They did not. Anybody's bet is a good one on New England. I have no idea what the Patriots are doing in the preseason or with their quarterback room at this moment.
Yeah, it feels like maybe it's the Super Bowl for the Patriots. Like, we better get those wins now because they're going to be really tough over the first 10 weeks with that hellacious schedule that they have. But I expect we're still going to be taking a look at who that quarterback might be. And I don't even know who's even going to be the starter in this game. But if I was playing this, and you're supposed to have Jacoby Brissett as your starter for the season, he doesn't play in this game. And I just let Drake May spin. And quite frankly, if Drake May looks really good even with backup players, I'd probably make him my starter week one as well.
Yeah, we'll see exactly what happens. All right, DRS, some more Football Friday futures fusion to end out this segment and into our next one. Now, Joe Friso, did you come up with these, or are these on the FanDuel Sportsbook? Because yesterday it was a or. Okay, these are and, so you add them together. Mm. It is not an and. It is an and, right? It's not an or, right? These are combined. All right. This is the fusion. We love it. Okay, so here are the fusions. Donnie, here's the first one. The Chicago Bears to win the NFC North and the Pittsburgh Steelers to win 7 or less regular season games. Is it a good bet? If you had to wager, which one would you like more?
Man, that's crazy. By the way, like, the Chicago Bears, again, we're talking about a plus 750 price. So it's not plus 100. Like, ooh, that's a dumb bet. Like, no, you're getting a nice return on your investment. But the question is going to be is, like, we expect big things from the Bears, still with the rookie quarterback. But when you flip it over to the opposite side, the Pittsburgh Steelers doing 7, usually it's or more games. Like, yeah, you know, they always are 500. Yeah. This is 7 or less, which means they're markedly under 500, which means 7-10 or less on the season. That's a tough one. If I had to bet it, it probably would be the Bears to win the NFC North, even though they have a rookie quarterback and Detroit's really good and the Packers are, because the Steelers, the bottom would have to fall out on that franchise for them to get 6 wins, though,
for sure.
Or 7 wins, right? So that's the way I would probably play it at that point. I wouldn't play it together, but if I was betting either one, probably more likely the Steelers are going to win more than 7 games.
Right, and yesterday we chose between some match bets put together, the future fusions versus another future fusion. These are kind of parlays from a season futures perspective. More on them on a Football Friday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yesterday on the Early Line, if you were not with us, you should have been, but if you were not, we showed you Futures Fusion, a new category on the FanDuel Sportsbook under the National Football League tab, where you could put a couple of things together. The FanDuel putting basically season-long futures bets together. We compared them yesterday. Now we just talk about the fusions as they are. Our first one, the Bears to win the NFC North and the Steelers to win 7 or less games. It is a combined parlay at plus 750. I don't like either of these bets. I think the Bears at plus 340 to win the NFC North is as much of a return as you would need for a long shot. The Steelers, of course, 7 wins or less, because they have never won 7 games or less in 17 years under Mike Tomlin, and the win total is 8.5. Although I question what Pittsburgh is doing at the quarterback spot, I don't like either of those bets, so I don't like the futures fusion as it stands. Here's another one out of the AFC North. The Cleveland Browns to win the divisional crown and the Bengals to miss the playoffs. Donnie, would this be a parlay that interests you? Which do you think is most likely if one of them had to cash?
Probably more interesting than the first one. The reason I say it, the Chicago Bears don't have any correlation to the Pittsburgh Steelers winning seven games or less. But you can take a look here. The Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals playing in the same division in the AFC North. So theoretically, if the Browns do win the AFC North, they probably handled their business in both games, I would assume, against the Cincinnati Bengals. Therefore, a couple losses helps to try to keep them out of the playoffs and the wild card round. It's a plus 850 price, which is nice. Now, granted, I don't think the Cleveland Browns are going to win the AFC North. So it's sort of tough to sort of, let me say, like, build my case towards making this happen on this parlay. But I do see the Cincinnati Bengals with a legitimate chance to miss the playoffs this year. Keep in mind on something. We still haven't seen Ja'Marr Chase yet. And I know this, like, the Schefter stuff comes out, and then you see, I think Ocho Cinco was out here trying to, you know, Chad Johnson trying to say, you know what, he should have a contract this week, but if he doesn't, he's sitting out. So nobody really knows what's going on. But I don't know if he doesn't show up in week one or if they don't pay him and he says, okay, I'll show up, but I'm only going to half-ass it in practice and I'll show up to the meetings, but I just really wanted my money. You're not giving it to me. So I look at that also from the Bengals and say, Joe Burrow is the quarterback. Yeah. They haven't played him in the preseason. And I understand that some teams are not going to play their quarterbacks in the preseason. Philadelphia Eagles, New York Jets, just a few to name the at this point. But Joe Burrow, with that injury that he has, he even said, like, I just wish I could go out there and get hit at first. Like, it's not even so much about me getting tackled, but when I land awkwardly and have to put my hand down or my wrist down to sort of brace my fall, I just want to have that feeling of, oh, things are going to be okay this year. So there's still some things up in the air for me from a Bengals perspective. Do I love the bet? Would I bet it? Probably not. But having said that, I'd rather bet the second bet versus the first bet with the Bears and the Steelers.
Yeah, Joe Burrow did play in week number one of the preseason, 5 of 7, 51 yards and a touchdown, but he has not played each of the past 2 weeks. Listen, I don't think this is the worst bet. I don't think either things happen, but there is at least a track record. Last year, in what we consider the most competitive division in football, that being the AFC North, all four teams finished with a winning record. The Browns made the playoffs. They did not win the division. So did the Steelers. They made the playoffs, didn't win the division. The Ravens did, with the best regular season record at 13-4. And even the Bengals, without Joe Burrow for the closing stretch of the year, had a 9-8 record. It would not be the craziest thing to see the Bengals with a winning record, maybe even 10 wins. They don't have to come in last in the division, and still, because of how competitive the AFC is, miss out on a playoff spot, whether it's via tiebreaker, whatever the scenario would be. And the Browns win total is 8.5. Yes, they have the third longest price out of the four teams in the AFC North. It's not a substantially long number. And again, the win total is 8.5. for Cleveland, and the over has the juice at minus 138. A winning record, perhaps competitive enough to earn the top spot in the AFC North. Now we go to the Super Bowl co-favorites, the Chiefs and the 49ers, that ended last year against one another for the second time in the last 5 seasons. The odds makers would expect out of right now these two teams to face off in the Big Easy. That's New Orleans in Super Bowl 59. The Chiefs to be the AFC number one seed. The Niners to be the NFC number one seed. It's a 21-1 number, DRS.
Yeah, it seems like they're setting you up on this one. Like 21-1 feels like way too high a price here at this point. Should be around like a 7-1 or 8-1 at this point, because they're saying, I'm going to give you right now on paper the best team in the AFC. I'm going to give you right now on paper the best team in the NFC. And should they both actually live up to their expectations, you get a 21-1 payout. Usually that payout's like a 3-1. Like, well, I had to parlay to get even that price back here. So I feel like the setup is in. Now, due to the law of averages in the NFL, we're probably not going to see that happen. But I got to tell you, 21-1 is a pretty intriguing number for arguably the two best teams in football.
The Eagles are actually a slight favorite to be the one seed in the NFC. But outside of that, like Donnie, I can't believe the price is that long. Hour 3 starts next.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER
click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.